which we have in 1.10.1. Kshamuk Vacha Hatva Swarikta Skutha Atataino Udhishthiro Dharma Vritam Varishtha Sahanjai Pratyavarud Bhojanaha Katham Pravatha Kim Akarshittataha. Shaunakushi is asking a question now. The Bhagavatam is containing my nested conversations. The outermost in that nesting is, or the second outermost, we could say the outermost is the conversation between Vyasadeva and us, the readers of the Bhagavatam. But biggest conversation within the Bhagavatam is the conversation between Sruta Goswami and the sages. Shaunakushi is asking, Hatva, after destroying, after overpowering, Swarikta Spudha Atata, you know. So, that which was their own inheritance, those who desire to assert it, Atata, you know, the aggressors, after destroying them, Udhishthiro Dharma Bhritam Varishtaha. Udhishthiro, who was among those who were the followers of Dharma, Varishtaha, who was the eldest, Sahanujai, along with his brothers, Pratyarudha Hojanaha. So, how did he rule? How did he accept Bhojana? Normally we use the word Bhojan for eating, but Bhojana also means accepting for one's own necessity and for one's own purposes. Katham Pravritta Kim Akarshittataha. So, how did he act? And how did he execute his duties? So now in the previous chapter, how Yudhishthira's heart-wrenching feelings of remorse were mitigated, were addressed by Bhishma, that is described. And then after that, now in this chapter, Shaunakushi asks for a continuation of the narrative. When he says, please describe how that issue was dealt with how did all that guidance by Bhishma, how did that affect Yudhishthira when he came down to the ground level of doing the duty, how was he able to do the duty? So their significant words are there, Dharma Bhritam Varishtaha. This is another way of saying Dharma Raj. So Bhruta actually means, Bhruta means to sustain, or Bhruta means to hold actually. Bhruta means to sustain. Similar connotations, although somewhat different. But Dharma Bhritam Varishtaha. So he was among the foremost among the maintainers of Dharma. Because of his desire to maintain dharma, he felt that I have committed a great adharma by taking this kingdom, and therefore the appropriate remorse for me will be to renounce the kingdom. But when he understood that the proper dharma for him was to accept the kingdom as he was instructed by Bhishma, then did this person who was Dharma Bhritam Varishtaha, how did he execute his dharma? And because his dharma entailed him to escape, to accept huge amount of opulences, so how did he, by accepting those opulences, execute his duties? How did he use those opulences? How did he execute his duties? That's the question here. Sutta Vacha, text 110.2. Vamshar Vamsho Nkuror Vamshadavar Nimrutam Samroyaitva Bhavabhava Noharihi Niveshitvar Nijara Jaishvaro Udhishthiram Preetamana Babhuvaha. Vamsham Kuror. So in the Kuru dynasty, Vamshadavar Nimrutam. So there was a Vamshadava Agni, that means the huge forest fire that was destroying the dynasty, Nirhutam. once that was extinguished, that was exhausted, samrohitva bhavabhava no harihi. Samrohitva. After installing again bhavabhava, no. The proper maintainer of the creation, that was Lord Hari, who is the Bhavabhavana, maintainer of the Lord creation, who is referred to as Hari Krishna, Niveshayitva, he established that king as the ruler over here, Nijaraja Ishvaro, in his own kingdom, the Lord established, and this way Ishvaro Yudhishthiram, when Yudhishthira was established like that, then Pritamana Babhuvaha, Pritamana, he became very satisfied in his mind, Babhuvaha. It's interesting that in response to the question about how did Yudhishthira execute the activities of the king, and Sita Goswami begins the answer by describing Krishna's emotions. And that is because Yudhishthira was devoted to Krishna and he wanted to please Krishna. So, pleasing Krishna would require. And in the previous chapter, when there is this whole speech by Bhishma Pitama instructing Yudhishthir, the whole point of that was do the Lord's will. And the Lord is pleased with you, then ultimately you'll be successful no matter how many reversals you face. So Bhishma had spoken that and he had lived that, and especially in his leaving, in his departure, he had also demonstrated that. So, in one sense, this answer reflects the reality that Yudhishthir had applied Bhishma's instructions and he had molded his life in a way to please Krishna, and Krishna was pleased that his plan now was successful. Text 3. निशम्य भीष्मोक्तम अथाच्युतोक्तम प्रवृत्त विज्ञान विधूत विभ्रमा शशाशगामिंद्र इवाजिताश्रयः परिद्युपान्ताम् अनुजानुवर्तितः. निशम्य भीष्मोक्तम, सो दैट थीम इज नाउ टॉक्ड अबाउट इन द नेक्स्ट टेक्स्ट इटसेल्फ. निशम्य, आफ्टर हैविंग हर्ड भीष्म उक्तम, दैट इज स्पोकन बाय भीष्मा, एंड अथ अच्युतोक्तम, एंड ऑल्सो दैट इज स्पोकन बाय अच्युत. Pravrutya Vijnana Vidhuta Vibhrama. Vidhuta Vibhrama. All his Vibhrama, his illusions, Vidhuta, they were removed. Pravrutya Vijnana. So he was engaged according to knowledge, proper knowledge. Shashasha Gamindra Ivajita Ashriya. Shashasha, shasana is to rule. Shashasha means to rule over. Gama, so he ruled over the earth. Gama vishya cha bhutani. Gama is a word standard used for referring to the earth. Indra ivajita ashraya. Just as he ruled like Indra, ajita ashraya. Under the shelter of ajita. So, paridhi upantam. Paridhi Upanta means as far as the seas, even including the seas, his rule went far away. Anujanuvartitaha. And he was followed by his Anujas, his younger brothers. So here, the essential theme is that Yudhishthir was successful, prosperous, glorious. So his glory is mentioned in several ways. Anujanuvartitaha. That is, brothers followed him, they respected him. Earlier there had been a conflict between him and his brothers when he wanted to renounce and they didn't want him to renounce. So now when he had taken up the rule, his brothers faithfully followed him. That was, there was a united family. Earlier they and their cousins, there was a divided family and that caused a lot of stress and distress. But now the united family indicated one point pointer to success.
Then the fact that he was ruling the earth, extending far up to the oceans, that also indicates another level of success. And he was just like Indra rules. So, Ajita Achyuta Ashraya, just like now this Indra with Achyuta, that can refer to many directly. Ajita Ashraya, directly Yudhishthira was under the shelter of Krishna, who is also Ajita. Or traditionally, this can also refer to when there was the battle between Indra and Bali Maharaj, and then after that, Vamandev got the kingdom back for Indra, and Vamandev protected Indra. So Indra ruled under the under the protection of Ajita. So says Ajita protects Indra. Similarly here, Krishna was protecting Yudhishthir. So the kind of heavenly prosperity that Indra enjoys, similarly Yudhishthir was enjoying prosperity on the earth. So essentially, this verse talks about this verse is a reply. Now, in from more objective perspective of the question, starting question, that Yudhishthir was a very prosperous and successful ruler. Further parameters of that prosperity and success are given in the next text. Kamam avarsha parjanya sarva kama dughamahi shishishu chasma vrajan gavah payaso dvas vatirmad muda. So this is a verse which Srila Prabhupada would often quote to talk about natural prosperity and how natural prosperity is at the basis of all human prosperity. Nowadays, because we live in cities where we think of prosperity in terms of skyscraper buildings and cars and cell phones and computers and such high-tech gadgetry, it is easy to forget amidst all these man-made products, which are indicators of prosperity from today's perspective, that none of such prosperity can be sustained without nature's bountiful gifts. So we humans may develop technology, we may make advancement, but ultimately, for whatever we need to do, whatever we do, even using our best intelligence, we do primarily based on the resources which nature has provided us. So if rains stop, even the most prosperous land will become barren. If the temperature goes too high or too low, now we may use our technology to try to minimize the effects on us, but still that does, if it goes into extremes, entire civilizations can be wiped out. So in natural resources, they are at the foundation of all human resource development. And how natural resources came bountifully in the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir is mentioned here. Kamam vavarsha parjanya. Parjanya is rains. Vavarsha, showered down. Kamam. So the rains showered down abundantly. Sometimes when it rains too heavily, we may feel inconvenienced in moving about, but actually without rains we will be far more inconvenienced, and especially in an agrarian economy or an agrarian society, rains are most welcome. Rains are essential, indispensable for the growth of crops, and that's why the first coming of rains is often an occasion of celebration. So here it is said the rains showered down kama, means whatever was desired, the rains showered that down. The shower of rains granted that. How did that happen? Sarva kama dughamahi. So here we sarva kama dughamahi. That mahi is the earth, dugha is the producer to give. Sarva kama dugha. So all desires, the earth provided. So when the rains come, then earth gets fertile. The fertile earth starts giving out crops and fruits and everything that we need. And then eating if the abundant grass, then the cows eat the grass, and when the cows eat the grass, Shishichu Swarajan Gavah Shishichuhu, they moistened the pasturing grounds. Swarajan Gavah, the cows. Payaso Udhvasatir Muda. Payaso Udhvasat. Udhasvatir. Udhasvatihi. Payasa Udhasvati. Payasa is milk. Payasam is a milk sweet. So Udhasvati. Udhasvati means they are swollen. So their milk bags were swollen. And as milk dripped out from the milk bags, Muda, they had a joyful attitude. So, taking milk out from cows is an art. And the milkman or milkmaid have to be expert. They have to be firm at the same time, they have to be gentle so that they can take the milk out of the cow. Of course, nowadays machines are used and the cows are squeezed, often being treated simply not as conscious beings or persons, they are treated simply as milk producing machines. That is a very depersonalized, mechanized conception of cows. But here we have the other extreme, that rather than any art or skill being required to milk the cows were just naturally, abundantly giving milk. That they were so delighted that the milk was joyfully coming out of their udders. Their udders were swollen. So when the cows are happy, when they are no longer in anxiety, then they give milk abundantly. And that abundant milk, this is that abundance of the milk is indicated over here. So there is a connection between physiology and psychology. It's like when we are depressed, we feel that we don't have much energy to do things. Or when we are in a cheerful attitude, and even if we have a lot of work, we tackle it vigorously. So just as the psychology determines our physiological energy level, similarly, the Vedic culture understands that the psychology determines the physiological milk secretion by the cows. So if they are muda, if they are happy, then they will give milk abundantly. When they feel that they are cared for, their needs are provided for, their future is safe, then they abundantly give milk. So the Shishichu Smavrajan Gav, this sprinkling of their milk on the pastures is a significant indicator, or is a striking indicator of natural prosperity. Now here, one more significant point is, the word karma is used here in an entirely positive sense. So often when Krishna uses the word karma in the Bhagavad Gita, initially he uses it in the form of desire as lust. And he says karma is the enemy and has to be curbed. But karma is also one of the purusharthas. And as a purushartha, it needs to be recognized that it is natural to have desires and it is natural to have those desires fulfilled. So to desire is the natural condition of the conscious state. Now, of course, our desires can be healthy or they can be diseased. So, say a drug addict's desire for more and more drugs is a sick desire. And that is going to increase the misery and the sickness. But say a talented artist's desire to draw something aesthetic, that is a healthy desire. And especially if the artist is drawing something which is going to glorify the Lord, that is the healthiest desire. So desire in that sense is not bad. And kamam bhavarsha parjanya sarva kama dughamahi. So here the word kama comes twice, and the idea is that here the desires are in terms of what is required for holistic, harmonious, happy living at the material level. That is also provided by nature when we are spiritually harmonious. So, spiritual harmony leads to material harmony also. So, and that is what is demonstrated here in this verse, that at Maharaj Yudhishthira's rule, abundance was there. And Kunti Maharani has also earlier talked about this, when she said that Yadante tava vikshitaha, O dear Lord, by your imajanapada suddha, Supakvaushadi virudha, vanadrindyodhanvato yadhante tava vikshitaha. that all these things are abundantly prosperous. All the resources of nature are abundant because you are glancing on them. So that same theme which she had mentioned earlier in the 8th chapter, now is being repeated here in the 10th chapter when describing the rule of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So text 5, Nadya Samudra Giraya Savanvaspati Virudha Falantya Oshadhaya Sarva Kamam Anvrutu Tasya Vai. So various natural resources are being talked about here. Nadyah Samudra Girayah, the rivers, the ocean, the seas, the hills. Savanaspati Virudhaha, Savanaspati, vegetables. Virudhaha, creepers. Falanti Oshadhaya Sarva. Falanti, they were flowering, fructifying, they were growing, blossoming, active. Oshadhaya, the medicines, medicinal herbs that are there. So normally when we think of Aushadhi, we think of Aushadhi more in terms of pills and tonics or injections that are manufactured in industrial complexes and provided to us in pharmaceutical shops. But traditionally, the connectedness with nature was both implicit and explicit. That means people were aware that even Oshadhaya, medicines, how do they come? They come from the herbs. So even now, if an Ayurvedic, traditional Ayurvedic Ved, if he is living in a rural area, then, and even if we go to the native, some traditional societies, they have some curative kind of doctor who goes out into the forest to look for the right herbs. So the word Aushadhi is directly used for the plants which have medicinal properties. So the herbs, Sarvaha, all of them. Kamam Anvritu Tasya Vai. Tasya, unto them, that is Maharaj Yudhishthira. Kamam Anvritu. They all, Anvritu, Ritu is season, Anvritu is according to seasons, they all provided it. Whatever was required, they provided according to seasons. Now, Prabhupada reveals his brilliance in translating this as Kama Vandrutu Tasya, we translate as paid their tax quota to the king in profusion. So, the natural world is also conscious, and it's not that we can just go and extort and plunder resources from the nature. Rather, when we are living in harmony with nature, nature provides its bounty happily to us. So in that sense, that cooperative vision between humans and nature, with the dharmic king being the king not only of the citizens, of the humans, but also of nature, that is conveyed here. When it is by Prabhupada, when he uses the word taxes. So they also provided according to seasons whatever was appropriate, whatever was required. And thus there was harmony between the natural order and the human order. Text 6. Nadhayo Vyadhaya Klesha Daiva Bhutatma Hetavah Ajat Shatrav Abhavan Jantunam Rajnikarhichet Nadhayo Vyadhaya Klesha. Na Adhaya. Adhaya is anxiety. There were no anxieties. Vyadhaya. So it's here we see the beauty of Sanskrit as a language. Similar things have similar sounding words for them, which create poetic alliteration. So Adhaya and Vyadhaya. So Adhaya is anxiety, Vyadhaya is disease. So neither were there anxieties nor there were diseases. Nadhaya, Vyadhaya, Klesha. Klesha is, there was no distress. Prabhupada glosses this as, there was no distress, no trouble due to excessive heat or cold. Daiva Bhutatma Hetavah. So, Daiva Bhutatma. So, So this is the first three klesha that are there, adhidaivik, adhyatmik and adhibhautik. There are three klesha that come to people normally. So those three are talked about over here, and it is said that from no adhidaivik klesh, that is pointed to by daiva, bhuta is no adhibhautik klesh, and adhyatmik, atma. So these were not there. Coming from these, they were not there. Ajatashatra, abhavan. So ajatashatra. This is a standard name with which Yudhishthira is often referred, that he, the one who had no enemies. He's ajatashatra, abhavan. It happened during his season that during his rule that there was no none of these distresses. Jantunam rajyakarhi chet. So the living beings were not disturbed in any way during his kingdom. So in the question was how did Yudhishthira Maharaj rule? So it is being told here the effects of that rule was that there was no misery and everybody was living in a remarkable state of relative freedom from misery. Now, of course, the ultimate miseries of death and everything will be there in this world. So, although this world is miserable, it is not that Krishna wants us to be miserable. Dharma is meant to ultimately take us beyond this miserable world, but intermediately, dharma also enables us to live as happily as is possible in this world. And that is indicated that when there was Dharmaraj and he was guiding the citizens to live dharmically, then he ensured conditions which were almost like heaven or even like the spiritual world in this world by his virtuous rule. Text 7. Ushitva hastina pure masan katipayan harihi suhrudam cha vishokaya svashuscha priyakamyaya. Ushitva hastina pure. Ushitva means to stay. So Krishna stayed in Hastinapura masan katipayan harihi, in some, for some months, a few months, katipayan hari, Lord Hari, suhrudam cha vishokaya, suhrudam, his relatives, for pacifying, and especially swashush cha priya kamyaya, swashush, his sister, that refers here to his sister was Subhadra. So now Subhadra, she had lost her son Abhimanyu, and he was the only son she had, and he had been killed brutally. So Krishna wanted to pacify her, and of course, because they were, Krishna was close to everyone, but for a girl who is married into a family, you know, her, those who have been there with her in childhood and in her youth before her marriage, there is a special bond that is formed with them, and she wanted Krishna to be there with her for some time, and to satisfy her, Krishna stayed for a few months. So Krishna is God, but he is not simply a dominating, order-giving God. He cares for others, and at others' requests, he is even ready to adjust his things, change his plans, and he is ready to do things whatever are required for taking care of people. So earlier, at the request of Yudhishthir, Krishna stayed, and now for the desire of pleasing Subhadra, he stayed. Text 8. Amantra chabhyanunyataha parishvabhivadyatam aruroh ratham kaishchit parishvakto abhivaditaha. Amantriya. So after taking permission, cha abhyanugyataha. Abhyanugyata means he was given the permission. So parishvajya. So he embraced everyone. Abhivadya. He bowed down because Yudhishthira Maharaj was older to Krishna. So Krishna always had a very respectful disposition towards him. tam he bowed down to him aroharatham kaischet he went on to sat on his chariot parishvakto abhivaditah he was embraced by some he was offered obeisances by some so the standard modes of reciprocation all started when krishna decided to depart so to his elders he offered his obeisances to his equals he offered embraces and from the juniors he received their obeisances so in this way krishna very affectionately reciprocated with everyone and then set off to depart so that departure will be what happens how prayers are offered when he is departing that will be discussed in the future verses in this chapter later thank you